Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, we have a good friend of ours, John Donato, an artist and former executive that always, John, I have to say, talking to you, it always brings me joy because it's the best combination of both worlds. So welcome to the radio show.
Thank you, Guillermina.
So let's talk about you. Let's talk who John Donato is and maybe was for those who haven't heard about you, which is probably not the case, but let's refresh people's memories.
Okay, great. I grew up in southern New Jersey on a farm, ended up going to the University of Maryland to study graphic design, ended up in the D.C. metro area doing marketing and PR and you know, in corporate positions. I did that probably until I was about 46, 47 years old, something like that. And along the way, discovered that I actually had skills to paint, which I'd never done in graphic design. This was a while ago. But I actually picked up paints and started painting these whimsical characters that I used to doodle when I was in grade school. Well, eventually, when the economy turned, I had the opportunity to pick a different path of career. And I said, you know, through the encouragement of other artists, they had seen these couple of paintings that I did, decided that maybe now's a good time to finally do something with art. I seem to have this talent. Now that I have a business background and understand what it takes to actually run a business, maybe I don't have to be a starving artist. Maybe there's something I can do and raise two new boys and a wife, stay-at-home mom, on art. And that was probably about seven or eight years ago that I took that on. And I've really worked hard at it. And today I'm continuing to do that full time, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's very challenging, but it's very fulfilling, more fulfilling than anything I've ever done.
So as an artist, what is the thing that motivates you? Because, I mean, did you paint before? Did you do something related to that? Or were you just kind of becoming this executive you were? And then all of a sudden you, but tell me about that transition.
I had always liked to draw, but I was sort of coming from the understanding that if you became an artist in fine art, you would starve. You're basically, it's a life, a career of starving. That was what I was always led to believe. Now this is, we're talking 70s, 80s. This was sort of what was put in front of me when I was young. At some point, I kept wanting to paint. I kept being very creative in the way I would solve problems. So I became, or always was, a very right brain thinker. I would always put things together that folks would never think of to create something new. So the way I saw things, the way my perspectives on things were very different when I started to illustrate those things. And in my whimsical style, I had a very unique style. I realized that I was like, wow, this is very marketable. There's something I can do with this. There was a point, the turning point was when I understood that I can help people understand big concepts and help folks communicate and see different perspectives through visual diagrams and artwork. So I saw art as not only something that was very inspiring, but can also help folks see and understand things and communicate more effectively and more efficiently. And I like efficiency. So when I started painting, I went very quickly from a fine artist of paintings that would, you know, go to a show, you sell your paintings, you sell your reproductions, things like that. Then I started doing murals. And I started doing maps, visual maps and diagrams, and quickly sort of got into the commercial side of education, where folks could actually look at visual diagrams and visual illustrations to understand things about business and things about education and things about subject matter. That was a game changer for me. That's when I started doing muraling in schools to help children build self-awareness, to understand greater concepts of the curriculum, to tie communities together to understand and build awareness about each other and what makes a successful community.
There you go. And that, while you were talking, I was thinking, how can you define yourself as an artist? Because we all have like a vision of ourselves. But in your case, it's very unique. It's impossible to just pinpoint a specific way of doing it. So why don't you go ahead and describe yourself as an artist?
I'm a collaborative artist, which means I like working with other people that touch the artwork. So I'm not married to my artwork in a way that it has to be about me and about what I can put down on a canvas or on a wall or on a sculpture. It's about what you can do mm-hmm. with me mm-hmm. and how I can introduce you to this craft mm-hmm. so that it can help you become a more creative thinker, a more creative mm-hmm. problem solver, mm-hmm. to learn why you're on the right side of the brain, why you're doing this craft that you may have never touched before. Most people have never painted before that I work with. Mm-hmm. But how can we together create a wonderful piece of art that mm-hmm. you're proud of, mm-hmm. that you do most of the work on? I'm sort of directing and helping and guiding. And at the same time, you are learning, I am learning, and everyone else is learning from it.
So you see yourself like an orchestra director kind of thing. You put the pieces together. Somebody else is working on specifics like murals, and you're helping that creativity process evolving.
Yes, and part of that is because I have these systems that allow not only one person to do this, mm-hmm. but many people, even thousands of folks, to do this together. Mm-hmm. So the collaborative experience, it expands out to a group of people, which mm-hmm. is really where the community comes in.
Right.
Instead of working with a couple students in the school, I'll do 100% participation. Every student works on the mural. Every teacher. Mm-hmm. We have parents come in and work on it. We have the custodians work on it. So mm-hmm. everyone is coming together, sharing this experience mm-hmm. and learning something about themselves, learning something about the environment that they're in mm-hmm. and actually having an impact on the feel of mm-hmm. the school, like mm-hmm. deinstitutionalizing a school to have artwork throughout all the hallways mm-hmm. in one grand effort. And the beauty of it is that no one really knows what it's going to look like until it's done. Mm-hmm. But I know it's going to be something that everybody will realize this was a great thing. This was something big that we accomplished.
They're going to feel proud about.
And they could see their piece of it. They can go back and say, this is my piece right here. This is what I did.
And in checking the many things that you've been doing, I mean, the list of the projects that you've been working on for the last, I believe, 8 years that you've been doing this, or 9 years, I believe, it is impressive and always related to kids and this intention of building communities, particularly with murals.
Yeah, and there's it's a real intentional purpose with that. Mm-hmm. I like working with children because I've worked with adults too. I uh-huh. used to be, part of my career was to be a company trainer. So I was a corporate trainer.
Okay.
So I would teach folks that are in business mm-hmm. how to do business better, how to relate, things mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. how to build skills. Well, some of the barriers that I saw between them and what they thought their creative potential was probably started at a very young age. At some point, we stop working with crayons and we're taught to hold a pen or a laptop. And yeah. at that point, we stop thinking like creative children.
Right.
So I said, well, I'm going to focus on children, get to them young. Mm-hmm. This way they never have these barriers put in their place.
There you go.
So I like fixing a problem right from where it starts, or uh-huh. creating opportunities right from its most effective point, uh-huh. which would be children. So mm-hmm. the younger I can get to them, the younger I can work with them, the better off really business, society, communities are going to be as they get older.
Tell me something from your experience before, now that you're working with kids. Can you define how is working and creatively? How can you define that this is something being created in a way that is unique?
It's one, I haven't seen it done the way I'm doing it anywhere.
Okay.
Two, the results I'm seeing, we're hearing children say things that counselors uh-huh. and teachers couldn't break through with them before. Mm-hmm. For instance, if I worked with as small as 7 children, mm-hmm. to actually have them choose better words during the day in school, these mm-hmm. would be children that are using profanity, mm-hmm. and their status at the school may be pretty, it's damaged by that. These mm-hmm. are children that are in and out of detention. Well, if I can come up with a program, which I have done, mm-hmm. that can actually, and it's an artistic program, a mural, that can actually help them to be conscious of their word choices, understand the impact it's having on their mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. and then change that mm-hmm. in a day or two. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable to see that kind of transformation happen that quickly. And the counselors have actually said that. We haven't been able to reach them like this. So, and I've heard many examples of children that would in 50 minutes do a painting on one of my book murals and turn around and say, I never, and this just happened last mm-hmm, week, mm-hmm. I never thought that I could actually create something like this. Mm-hmm. And then in the next sentence say, you know, I'm actually really good at this. how do I continue doing this?
So you're empowering these individuals.
Yeah, I'm empowering. And if I, you know, if I can get to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% of them mm-hmm. in the course of a day or a week, that's a pretty good turnaround, you know, of really unlocking and empowering that kind of potential mm-hmm. in a child.
Do you work mainly with schools or there's some other kind of projects that encompasses what you do?
I work with communities. I work with park systems for mm-hmm. Different programs. I like working with schools. It seems to be I spend a lot of time in the schools. Right. Some of those, the schools are coming to me. Sometimes the PTOs come to me to bring me in. Mm-hmm. There are foundations that want to bring me in to really have this kind of impact. The benefit is that everybody wins. If someone's funding this project, they can mm-hmm. see real results. If the children are involved, we're seeing real results with them. The schools, it absolutely brings a new vibrant look and feel and conversation mm-hmm. that they can't get away from. So if we're talking about something like building character building in a school, imagine 1,000 books painted by 1,000 kids and parents and teachers mm-hmm. that are going to be in those hallways, keeping that conversation alive for the next 20 years.
We need to continue talking about it. This let me re-engage with the audience. And I'd like to go to the business side of it mm-hmm. because this didn't happen just randomly.
No.
But let's go back. Before, let me re-engage with the audience to remind them that you are listening to News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOB for the Delaware State of the Arts radio show. Our guest today is John Donato, who is a Sussex artist, but he's a former executive working for corporate America. And with that, let me go back to the business side of the things that you are doing, John, because as I said before, it didn't happen in the vacuum. You were planning this change. And as many artists, you are an entrepreneur, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Talk to me about the planning process, how you're doing that. Tell me about the business side of the things that you do.
Sure. It was 25 years in the making.
Okay.
As I worked my way into business, working for companies, mm-hmm. I began to understand, okay, there is a bottom line. There's always a bottom line. And you know, you try to be as effective as you can and efficient as you can as getting to that bottom line, and you want to do good work while you're doing mm-hmm. it. So I had to understand, you know, how income and expense works. I had mm-hmm. to understand how to do spreadsheets. I had to understand what costs were on a project.
Right.
You know, all of the things that a good business—
Not romantic thing, yeah, but has to happen.
Really, and this is really what I think is one of the most important things behind being an artist is understanding mm-hmm. how are you actually going to make a living, and do you understand how those numbers work
mm-hmm.
and how do you maintain your integrity as an artist
right.
and be successful when you can raise a family.
That, let me talk about that because mm-hmm. in many cases I've heard artists saying, if I commercialize, I'm going to lose the spirit of the things that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case? Has that been the case in your case?
I'm always tested. I am approached by a lot of folks that do want to commercialize some of what I want to do. But I have to make those decisions day to day is if it's being commercialized and it is still going to help people,
mm-hmm.
then that is something I could probably get myself behind. If
okay.
it is going to be commercialized just to help somebody make profit
mm-hmm.
and starts losing the sight of helping people,
mm-hmm.
then it's something I won't get behind. So I always make sure that I am in the position mm-hmm. of making that decision.
Okay.
Because I want to be authentic. My motive for doing art is mm-hmm. not only, it really isn't just for me,
mm-hmm.
it's really for other people. And if it's not going to help other people,
then I don't go
down that road. And there are ways that I could make a lot of money commercializing what
mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I choose not to do those things because it's not important to me. But there are ways, I think if I'm creative enough,
mm-hmm.
there is going to be a way to still make a lot of money and still have a lot of positive impact.
Without losing the spirit of
helping other people.
Now, it sounds to me like you have a business plan behind.
Yes. Yes. I try not to put all of my eggs in one basket, which means I still create fine art.
Correct.
Paintings that I sell at shows and I sell online. I have, I still go to art shows
uh-huh.
because it's part of marketing. People need to see you out there. You need to collaborate and talk with other artists and the mm-hmm. community and really market yourself. I have an online store, which I get up in the morning and things have sold.
Right.
So that it's a way to, you know, keep that fine artist in me moving,
mm-hmm.
and it's another line of revenue for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have the murals, which are projects that are big projects. They take a lot of energy. I'm going to put a lot of time into them,
mm-hmm.
but the impact that it has on people, and it actually brings revenue into,
mm-hmm.
So that's another line. I have some commercials. Some folks just want me to paint a nice mural because they want a cool, they want their building to look cool on the outside.
Right,
and they
right.
want, so I really try to give them. So I have a lot of different ways mm-hmm. to go about generating revenue, because this way, if one of them is not 100%, there are other ones that are still carrying it. This way, if for any reason the economy changes, mm-hmm. the landscape changes, anything, I have a few things that I can do mm-hmm. that will generate. So it takes the fear out of being an entrepreneur by having a very, I'd say, well-balanced portfolio.
A diverse revenue stream.
Diverse stream of revenue. And I see a lot of artists that one of the mistakes is they focus in on one area uh-huh. and they are not focusing in on other ways that they can generate revenue mm-hmm. for many reasons, for mm-hmm. a lot of different reasons. And there's a lot of artists that do it very well. Mm-hmm. What I like to do is really try to reach out mm-hmm. to those that can't do it and try to help them along, especially younger artists that are coming out of high school mm-hmm. or going into college mm-hmm. or not going to college that really want to do it. I try to bring everything that I understand to them mm-hmm. because I really want to see more artists out there doing
great. There you go.
Good.
Tell me about the transitional period, because you're doing what many artists do, the opposite direction. They go back to the real world, they say, because that what they love doing is not paying off, not paying the bills, making the story short.
Yeah.
Did you plan that transition? Was that kind of, did you sense some fear during
yes,
the transition?
I'm scared every day. I'm scared every day that, okay, where's my next check going to come from? How can I build this business? But I've really come to terms with that type of fear. Mm-hmm. Now it's something that energizes me, because there's a confidence that comes with that. That mm-hmm. if I keep working hard now, mm-hmm. I understand things keep coming. If I keep balancing marketing time with mm-hmm. PR time, mm-hmm. with painting time, mm-hmm. with thinking about new programs, mm-hmm. I know that I can keep this rolling. It keeps building and building and building. Mm-hmm. So what I learned in the business world is you really do need to have a strategy. You really do need to execute a plan, mm-hmm. and you really do need to follow through on what you say you're going to do. Mm-hmm. What I've learned as an artist is you really do have to keep tapping into what inspires you. You really do have to have a 360-degree vision mm-hmm. to see opportunities that are out there. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, I really need to understand what it is I do well, mm-hmm. what it is I don't do well, mm-hmm. and to make sure I'm playing to those areas. And if I need to learn something that I don't do well, then I'm going to learn it. Going to learn it. But at least I'm in control of the whole thing now. Mm-hmm. It's really, I'm not, someone else isn't calling the shots as to what I'm creating and how I'm creating it. And I'm in control of how
big this
is. So
you're master of your own destiny.
I'm the master of my own destiny, but I really do need to pay attention to other people, talk with other people, mm-hmm. and understand that it really is up to me. So I have to be accountable mm-hmm. to that success, and I have to be responsible for that success.
Makes complete sense. Now, what is your mission?
My mission is to help people become more creative thinkers.
Okay.
And in doing so, the second part of that mission is I really want to see stronger communities, more sustainable communities mm-hmm. that have strong arts programs in them. Mm-hmm. And I'm really focusing on the schools. I've seen since I was a child and growing up where the arts has been pulled out of school systems. There's, you know, it's usually a nice to have item in a school, mm-hmm. not a necessary item like the STEM programs, the science, mm-hmm. technology, engineering, math, things like that. I think that my personal belief is that art, the creative side of the brain, mm-hmm. is absolutely as important as anything else that we are teaching in schools, because mm-hmm. you can have math, you can have engineering, you can have science, mm-hmm. but if you can't figure out new ways to use them, better ways to bring them together, more creative things mm-hmm. to bring to the world with those subjects.
Or even understanding the numbers, you know, just producing numbers, but what the heck are you going to do with those numbers?
Exactly. And I think we have two halves of our brain for a reason. Part of it's the creative side.
True.
Part of it's the analytics side.
Uh-huh.
They cannot live by themselves on their own. And what I saw when the economy turned was I said, we have a whole generation of business people mm-hmm. that have not had much art in school. Mm-hmm. They have not exercised those creative muscles. So there's an atrophy there. Now our country has to think their way or create their way into
going
a new economy.
Right. Exactly. And bringing that competitive advantage that is very much needed. Before we run out of time, give people your ways of connecting with you. Do you have a webpage? Do
yes.
you have a phone number?
JohnDonatoArt.com mm-hmm. is my website. My phone number is 302-604-4209. If you Google John Donato, you're going to find all kinds of ways to get it.
That's what I did, and indeed you find John Donato easy.
It's part of the process. People need to know what you're doing if you want them to get to you. So, yeah, johndonatoart.com is the greatest way to get a hold of me. I encourage anybody, for whatever reason or any question, to contact me.
And we have like a minute left, believe it or not. What projects do you have in the pipeline?
I have a lot of projects in the pipeline. I'm working with some schools on some new programs that they want to run. I am expanding into the Eastern Seaboard, where I'm actually starting to travel to the northern parts of the United States and the southern parts of the United States. I'm working on programs in healthcare to help children to understand where they are in their therapy or in their treatments. I'm working on programs with businesses on how to be more creative. And I have a whole new line of artwork that I'm working on with my children. So I'm collaborating with my children to create whole new lines of art, as well as some books that I'm working on. So my next big step will be books that I should be coming out with.
Tell people again where to get a hold of you, because they need to know how, the many things that you're doing. And by the same token, taking a look to the list of projects you've done, that is a very long list. So please give again your contact information.
Again, johndonatoart.com. And my phone number is 302-604-4209.
Fantastic. And well, guess what? We don't have much time. So I want to thank you again, John, for coming all the way to Wilmington and share the many things that you are doing. And you need to come back again, as always, to refresh the things that you do. And congratulating you in bringing that connection between businesses and the arts that is so important, and again, bringing that competitive advantage that the U.S. needs by including the arts.
Thank you, Kimmy. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you.